Would you believe that I made this whole part of the tape and a good segment of it, and then didn't have it on record, that I had it on play, so that everything that I said is, I just have to repeat it if I can remember what I was talking about. I think I was telling you that Sergeant Sam had gone into Saigon to find his family, that during that Tet Offensive that he thought they had been killed, that they were okay. And that we had so many Vietnamese children, and that you never know where they come from, that sometimes they're from, it's usually from the beach. When I say the beach, I just mean the land, you know, any place that's in land. And sometimes they come from Yusan, which is a hospital, or rather an orphanage. I think it's run by nuns. And sometimes they don't know who they are or who they belong to. But the sailors, for the most part, are awfully good to them. We have one little nurse that worked down that department. She was a Jewish girl from Brooklyn. And she was very good to them. She used to go around there, and she was in the Bronx. I hate these kids, but she was really quite good to them. And Kathy Glover, who will be rooming with me starting next week, is down there now. And she works very hard, I think, and she does very well with the children. There's some resentment towards the Vietnamese that come in. Sometimes they feel that, you know, they're getting more attention than the Americans. But I think that's really true. But I can understand why some of the kids would feel a little bit resentful of having them there, because you never know who's a Viet Cong. And they had a girl and a Marine in one time, just before I got on board the ship. And the girl, I guess her parents were killed in a raid or something. And anyhow, she shot this Marine, and somebody shot her, and it was this, she didn't have any feeling against him, but it was just that she felt the Americans were responsible for the death of her family. Yeah, well, it's not very pleasant. But, you know, I told you that we can't ever go ashore, and it's always, sitting in the harbor, it's kind of like a man without a country. You look ashore, and you know, you just wish you could. And we talk about things like that. We'll say, well, we've got the day off, we're going into town shopping and things, and everybody laughs, it's a big joke. So, of course, we don't go. But unless you're going to pack out, that is, if you're taking your gear into shore to check them out because you're leaving for the States. Now, one of the girls, Kay Martin, was going in on the day before yesterday, and she took Jenny York, one of the other girls, with her. They got special permission from the commanding officer of the ship. And it was... everybody gave them an order what to get. And what we wanted were these Vietnamese dolls. It's just a sad status symbol because they're kind of crummy, to tell you the truth. They're made of plastic, and they're in the traditional Vietnamese costume of the woman. They only cost about $1. And they're the kind that they were sending back to the States. They used to plant explosives in the back of them. However, there's no explosives in this doll. And really, it's not much of a doll, except that, as I say, it's a status symbol because, you know, you can't get into town to buy them. And so that naturally you have, you know, when you have one, it means that you've known somebody who's actually been into Da Nang and who was able to get you one of these miserable dolls. But I get a kick out of it anyway. I almost forgot to tell you that aboard this ship, at least once, I guess only once, you have dinner with the captains. There are four captains, the head of the dental department, the head of the medical department, and the chief of surgery, my boss, Captain Garrett, and then the chief of the ship, whose name is Captain Campbell. So Jean Herniak, another girl who reported in around the time I did, and myself had to go to dinner, I think it was Tuesday night. And it was very nice. We really enjoyed ourselves. They were very pleasant. We had ham for supper. We had ham for lunch because, of course, they don't eat the same things we do. And so that was ham twice that day. But it was pleasant, and they were very nice. And Kathy and Judy Blake went last night. It's their custom. They have all the officers at once, at least, and we enjoyed it. I thought it was very thoughtful of them. And they were very pleasant to talk to, as I said before, and we didn't feel the least bit uncomfortable. As far as work goes, of course, Rachel, fine, you asked me about Rachel, Mother. Rachel, of course, is still here because while I was her work relief, I was not her numerical relief. And her numerical relief has got to report aboard, I guess, in a couple of days. And she's supposed to be off the ship probably by the time we get back from Subic. So I've been in the OR in the recovery room and all, and it's kind of nice having someone there. But it will be better when I'm by myself, and then I can do what I want to do and change what I want to change, and I have changes I want to make. There are many problems down in the department, but it's given me a chance to find out what the problems were and what has to be done about them. I have personnel problems. The other day, well, there are not that many personnel problems, but the other day, they cleaned the field day, the operating room suite, and they were waiting to get liberty, you know. So I said to the corpsman who's in charge of the suite, well, let's make rounds. And of course I checked, and there were many discrepancies. It was anything but perfect. Dust on the lights, and, you know, suture material left on the deck, and the wheels of the operating room table weren't clean. I tell you, you know, when I do an inspection, you may not think so, but, you know, I don't miss a whole lot. So I had a list, a whole page long, of things they had to redo. Well, they, of course, were fit to be tied. But that's just a start. They'll get used to it. Either that or they'll do it, or because they won't leave until they do it. So, you know, the caps that Mary made me, because I wear them, you know, cuffed over and pinned in the back, and they're great, as a matter of fact. I like them. Two of them came out and had their hats pulled way down over their ears, like I wear mine, covering their hair. And this, of course, was to mimic me, because this was their way of protesting. So I thought, I'll fix them. So I just went up to them, and the first one, and I said, with a perfectly straight face, fortunately I had my mask up so they couldn't see anything but my eyes, and I was very serious and said to them, I want you to know that I really like the way you're wearing your hat, that it covers your head, your hair very well and reduces the danger of contamination, and as long as you cover your hair that well, I'll be just so pleased. Now, if you'd only tuck in your pajama tops, that would make my day complete. Well, they were so flabbergasted, they didn't know what to do. What to say. So they lost round one, so this morning when they came in, they had them that way again, but Rachel got upset about it and told them that they missed the whole point. But I would have let them continue to wear them that way. They'd have gotten tired in a day or so, and I'd have made them fold their cap up a little bit more. But they feel that one of them said to me today that in San Diego they worked with the nurse, but they guessed in this situation they worked for the nurse, and I said that I guess maybe he was right. Because, you know, if there's only one nurse and you're supervisor, you can't, you just have to be in control of the situation. So it's really quite something, and it'll be all right after a while, but I think that there's going to be a contest of wills for not really much of a contest, because of course my mind's made up, and there's no changing it. They'll just have to do things my way. As I told the second class today when he was talking about it, I said, listen, I have no intention of running a democratic organization. This is not a democracy. They will do what they're told to do, and because it's for the safety of the patient, and this is it. They'll have to go along with the system. And I'm not running a democracy. I said they can think of it as a benevolent dictatorship if they'd like, if that makes them feel any better, but it's definitely not democratic. So he said, well, yeah, I know, but they might get upset about it. I said, well, you know what they do to revolutionaries and other dictatorships? They put them to the wall, and believe me, if they keep up their Mickey Mouse, that's what'll happen. I think, though, that once they get the message across. I have a couple of troublemakers. I wouldn't trust them as far as... Two of them were beatniks, you know. One, I had a rock and roll orchestra, and when he came into the Navy, he had hair down on his shoulders, and the other one had a beard, and a rock and roll orchestra, and, oh, he's trying to get out of the Navy with a bad back. I've got some winners. But I've got some good kids, too, and it will work out in the end. And I have the support of the doctors, or well, I have the support of some of the doctors. Of course, the worst ones aboard this ship truly are some of the doctors, not all by any means, but some. I have never in my life met such a group of complainers and whiners and naggers and, you know, they're just unhappy about everything. They're unhappy because they're here. Not all, as I said before. Some of them are real, real brats is what they are. One of them the other day was drinking coffee in the suite back in the operating room, because you don't bring food back in the operating room, and he knows that. So I just told him it would be a great favor if he would take it out of the operating room and stop eating in the operating room. He said he wasn't eating, he was just holding on to the coffee, and so then I just said, just take it out of here, that's all. And I said it nicely, though, really. And we have one other doctor who went to Deerfield. We have two doctors who went to Deerfield, but we had this one in particular, Deerfield, and I suspect he went to Harvard or someplace like that. But believe me, his education, his attitude just doesn't live up to his education. He's the most ignorant human being I think I've ever met. And we've had a test of wills once or twice, and I suspect he'll try it once or twice more, but he's dead. You know, I mean, I have made up my mind he will get nothing. So, it's working out, you know. I mean, I'm certainly not complaining about it by any means, and I'm enjoying the situation, because it's always kind of a challenge, you know, to try to change the department or to run things your own way. I was down at Medical Supply today, and they were already giving me the evil eye, because there are lots of things that need to be done. Of course, you know, I can't do any of these things myself, but I certainly know what has to be done. They have tape all over the bulkhead, you know, with scissors hanging them and everything, and I want them to put up scissors holders and to put up restraining bars on the cabinet so that when we're underway, the fluid doesn't fall all over the deck and or supplies. And I have a few things like that that I want done. And we have these mimeograph sheets up over the beds in Vietnamese, you know, to say things. And really, they're pasted up with just plain scotch tape, and that's bad. So I'd like to have those removed and have a big bulletin board with Vietnamese phrases and bold, large print put up there. And the bulletin board cost $30. Here we lost a $6 million plane in Vietnam, or rather in Thailand, a couple of weeks ago. And they're giving me static about 30 miserable dollars. But we compromised. I'm going to get something. It might be plywood. It might not necessarily be what I want, but I'll get something. So it's working out. There's the only thing I'm sorry about is that I have to wait until after Rachel goes, until I can really go full steam ahead and get my plans for reorganization of that place underway. And but I think for the most part, the doctors will cooperate. I'm fine, though. I feel real good, and I have no complaints, and everybody here is just fine. You know, you have personalities on board ship like everything else. We refueled yesterday from the USS Caliente. I just saw part of it. I was going to go to the movie tonight, but it was a cowboy, and, you know, I'm not crazy about cowboy movies. I'm not crazy about movies anyway. And I've been getting so much sleep as far as not having emergencies. I better keep my mouth shut or they'll come rolling in tomorrow night. But anyhow, if you don't get another tape of me until Subic, you'll know that we've gotten underway. And I might try to call you before then. And if I do, of course, you'll hear. And everything is good. And I hope everyone at home is fine. And that you're all enjoying yourself. And if there's anything I can get you, let me know. By the way, I did get myself a foul weather jacket. If Dad wants one, I can get one for him. They're blue. They're not, you know, not the most glamorous things in the world, but they're very comfortable, and they're warm enough, certainly, for spring golf or fall golf. He just tells me his size. Johnny's size, too. Well, it's almost near the end of the tape, so I'll say goodbye for now. And the other tape, I think I started to tell you that they could shell the Newport News if they wanted to, but they wouldn't dare. I thought that I must have left that off in kind of a, you know, up in the air. They could do it, but they wouldn't because of the furor it would cause. So anyhow, make a tape sooner, right? There's supposed to be a big mail call later tonight. Some of our mail is very late getting here. Some arrived from the 19th of March.